from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Headlines at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon, brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's. Sophie and Dick with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Lots of news in the NFL. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn fired today. That means six teams now have head coach openings in the NFL, including the Jets, the Jags, the Lions, Atlanta, the Texans, and the Chargers. Which one of those six jobs would you want? Chargers, Jets, Jaguars, Lions, Atlanta, and the Houston Texans.
Chargers.
Number one.
The Chargers. Yeah. I mean, they've rattled off four wins in a row and got Justin Herbert a quarterback. I kind of like that gig. Yeah. And you're in Los Angeles, which is better than
some
other
places. How about the Texans? Get to coach Deshaun Watson.
That's not bad either. That'd probably be number two on my list.
Too shabby.
Not too shabby. The Jets would be last on my list because they don't even get Trevor Lawrence. The NCAA tournament will take place entirely in the state of Indiana with a majority of the games in the city of Indianapolis.
I made a mistake in the 3 p.m. update.
Le who?
Okay.
The
I got to correct here. I said Arthur Blank said Matt Ryan's going to retire. It's Matt Schaub, not Matt Ryan.
So. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
At the tender age of 86,
My fault. My bad.
Browns defensive end Olivier Vernon will miss the playoffs. He has a ruptured Achilles. An MRI on Mike Evans' knee shows no structural damage. Bruce Arians optimistic that Evans will be able to play Saturday against Washington.
Name a third Olivier besides Olivier Vernon and Laurence Olivier.
Ooh.
I'll give you a few minutes on that one.
Yeah,
the NCAA basketball net rankings came out.
Uh-huh.
You see this? Gonzaga, number one in the country. No surprise there. You're fighting, scrapping UW Huskies. 237 overall. That's the lowest ranked Power 5 team in the country. 0-3, 1-7. Their game with ASU got canceled Saturday because of COVID issues in Tempe. They are at Stanford now on Thursday, 5:30 pregame, 6 p.m. tip-off right here on KJ.
That inspires me to play a little game at some point this week, Dave.
I don't want to play any games.
We
I'm not in the mood for games. Is this one of your weird games that you like to play?
Every once in a while. I think we should play a game. We'll go back and forth at some point this week.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it this one?
Well... You don't know dick.
Haven't done that in a while here.
I'm going to do that after football season.
Yeah, all right.
No, this game we need to play this week. And maybe we can play it the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Just to have a little fun with here's a team that's higher than Washington in the net rankings. And we come up, and you and I go back and forth, and we come up with the most obscure college basketball teams that are still ahead of Washington in the net rankings.
Why would you want to play that game, though?
It just, you know, sometimes when you're miserable
games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah, but when you're miserable about something, sometimes you just have to laugh at it, right?
I mean, I guess Lehigh is ranked higher than UW.
Oh, you want to play the game now?
Well, I'm just giving you a couple examples.
Okay.
North Dakota State.
I got to pull up the net
UNC
ranking.
Greensboro, South Alabama, Northeastern, not Northwestern, but Northeastern. Is ranked higher than UW, so yeah. I just think that, I don't know, Jackson, you can chime in here, pal. I think games are supposed to be fun, and there's nothing fun about that. So why would you want to do it? The hell's wrong with you?
I think it's
weirdo.
A fun way to get through the rest of the college basketball season. We kid because we care. It's a rough season for our guy, Mike Hopper.
Okay, I'll give you one team, all right? We'll play the game for like 10 seconds. Higher or lower than UW in the net rankings? Youngstown State.
Let's say higher.
You'd say higher? You would be...
They are one spot behind at 238.
That's not fair.
All right, so Jared Goff or John Wolford, do we really care who starts at quarterback for the Rams on Sunday? And if you had your choice, if you had your druthers, who would you rather see back there throwing passes for the Rams on Saturday afternoon?
Even though, as you know, I am not a Jared Goff fan at all. He has been the puppet of the puppeteer, and he hasn't been a particularly good puppet over the last couple of years after being a very good puppet in 2018, I guess.
Yeah.
I still would rather see Wolford if I'm a Seahawk fan. Yes, he can get you some yards on the ground. In fact, he got, 56 yards, I believe, on the ground on 9 carries in the last game. So he can kind of hurt you and get those first down scrambles on 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. But like you mentioned last segment, there's zero playoff experience.
Yeah.
He's going to make the mistakes, whereas Jared Goff, isn't really going to do anything in the passing game, but he probably isn't going to kill them either.
No, I mean, look, he's started a Super Bowl. He's had big games. Right. That game down there in L.A. a couple years ago when they hung, what, 40 on us or whatever it was. Yeah. So the overall numbers for Jared Goff against the Seahawks defense aren't really that good. He's got a passer rating in the low 80s, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, which I think among the four teams or the three teams he faces in the NFC West, that's the worst of all the teams he plays. I mean, the Hawks have him figured out more than any team in this division, but he still has a beating heart, right? I mean, yes. More so than what John Wolford has. And I'll tell you what, this Rams defense, you go back down the list of what they've done this year on defense, I think they've only allowed 30 points or more in one game this season, and that was in week 3 to Buffalo. So if you can get in the mid-20s on these guys, if you can, this is the age-old question. What's it going to take?
24. I'll sign up for 24 right now.
I just was going to say 24.
Right.
24 is my number. You get to 24 in this game, and I think the Hawks win it.
Yes, I think they did. I mean, heck, they won it with 20 easily a couple of weeks ago, so they didn't even have to get to 24. The only thing that would concern me at all about the offense is maybe they've found something in Cam Akers. And if Cam Akers can at least be respectable to the point where Jared Goff can now run his little play action bootlegs that he likes to run. I mean, really, that's the only time when Jared Goff's is effective.
Right.
Is when play action is working and he can do his little rollout things where he only has one option to throw to. That guy's usually open. Jared can't read the field to save his life. He throws to one guy who Sean McVay tells him to throw to, but if the running game is going, then that guy is likely going to be open because the linebackers have to come in and stop the run.
Yeah, I think there's defense, though. I don't think it's just about who they're playing. Do I think that they are the number one scoring defense legitimately in the second half of the NFL? Well, the numbers say they're giving up 16 points a game, so they get credit for that, but you do have to factor in who they're playing. So let's say that in any given year, when you factor in the variables, maybe they're the fourth or fifth best defense, or even a top 10 defense, which I'd be fine with that, by the way, in the second half. I see Jordan Brooks playing better. Okay, I see KJ Wright playing his ass off at the age of 58. He's incredible right now. You saw the way he played yesterday against the Niners. I look at this defensive line. The one big injury that irritates the hell out of me is Jaron Reed. If he's not ready to go on Saturday, man, that's a huge, huge blow for them. Because you remember, part of the reason why they let Damon Harrison walk is because they thought they were good to go on the defensive line. And obviously, when you let a guy like that go, you better not have any big-time injuries. Losing Jaron Reed would be a big-time injury on Saturday.
No question about it. You know, your statement on the defense and how good they are, it actually reminded me of a poll I just put out.
Oh, is it a Stats for Losers or a poll update?
No, it's a poll.
Okay.
It's a poll. I think it's time for an update on the poll. Right now, this second, the Seattle Seahawks defense is, and here are your options.
Okay.
Top 5.
Okay.
Top 10.
Okay.
Top half.
Okay.
Still bad.
Okay.
How would you vote?
You're asking me, like, where did they finish? Because I know where they finished.
No, I mean, in your mind.
In my mind. Okay.
What are they? Right this second? Going into the playoffs.
Yes.
Are they a top 5, top 10, top half, or still bad defense?
Top 5, top half, top 10, or still bad, you're asking me. I would say they're top half. I'd say top half. I mean, when you've made the jump you've made in the sack game and the pressure game, I don't care who you play. When you give up 16 points a game for 2 months, I don't give a damn what your schedule looks like. To me, that's legit to do that over and over and over again. And you weren't here. I think it was Tuesday when Jackson and I were together for the final time before he took off and enjoyed his new year. No matter what they really are, I think confidence is a huge factor for this defense.
And they're
right
confident
now.
Right now.
There's
no question.
Dick, they think they're good.
They have swag,
yes,
man.
Yes, they think they are good. And Quandre Diggs knocking the crap out of people. Jordan Brooks stepping up.
Laying out Juszczyk.
Blowing people up. They think they're freaking good.
Yeah.
And that, to me, means something. I think when you're – it's like playing golf, man. You know what it's like to go to a tee box with no confidence whatsoever.
It's all over.
Versus thinking you're the man. It's a totally different animal. So I just think the mental game that these guys are playing right now is a huge factor for this. So I'd say top half.
No question. Top half, 38% of respondents said top half.
Yep.
The leader was 41%. Top 10.
41.
Top 10 said 41.
Okay.
41% said top 10. 38% said top half. 15% said top five, and we only have 6% still non-believers thinking that this defense is still horrible. But, yeah, the swag means everything. And on the flip side, you look at the Seahawks offense, which I don't think is as bad as a lot of people worry that it is. But I will say this. They got no swag right now. I mean, maybe a little bit in the power running game. Chris Carson's kind of feeling his oats a little bit right now. But other than that,
let me ask you
they got no swagger in that offense.
What does the offense do really well right now? Because I think going into the playoffs, and by the way, I owe you this.
41 yards!
Going into the postseason, to make a run, I think you got to be great at something. Right, whatever that is, whether it's a great run game, a great defense, a phenomenal quarterback, you got to be doing great at something.
And you can't be horrible at one thing either.
Right. What is this football team, really, for the most part, overall? What would you say that they are great at? Now, maybe they can get great. Joe Flacco got great in the 2012 playoff run, right? He went from an above-average quarterback to a guy that made $100 gajillion because he played great in four games. Well, what can this or what are they great at right now?
I think they're pretty damn good at stopping the run, man.
Yeah.
3.9 yards a carry for the season, and that includes the garbage that we saw in the first two months of the year. That's number four in the NFL.
Right, that's fine.
It's one-tenth of a yard worse than the Rams. And we think the Rams are pretty damn good at stopping the run. Well, Seattle's at one-tenth of a yard per carry worse than the Rams. So I'd say their best attribute is stopping the run.
So that would be a positive that you could take and use and maybe ride to a win against the Rams on Saturday.
Yep.
I don't know if you can use that and ride it to a win against Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, because I don't think those guys care what's happening at the run game. I mean, obviously, Kamara's got the COVID issue, so we'll see what happens with him down the road.
And Kamara gets more of his yards
exactly.
in the swing pass
yes.
than he does
yes.
getting handoffs.
But
so.
I think that, meaning when you can take away one half of an offense and really put the ball in the hands of one player, I feel a lot more nervous putting it in the hands of Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees than I do Jared Goff on Saturday.
No question.
So I think my point is this. They're going to have to be more than just that to make a run to the Super Bowl.
What excites me about the Seahawks team is every facet of the game has looked not just good, but great at times. Now, they haven't looked great together, but they have looked great at times. There has not been one facet of the Seahawks that in one, two, three, four games hasn't looked special.
Let's do this.
Can you feel it now?
What did this win sound like? You know, it's funny. We haven't even talked much about the game yesterday, because who cares, man? The Niners are like yesterday's news. They're done.
That's right. They're finished.
Their season's over. We're in the playoffs, and they're not. So we'll come back and hear what the win over the Niners. Russell Wilson now 15-4. Isn't it time the Niners began to call Russell Wilson by his given name, which is Daddy? 15-4. All time. He owns the Niners. Owns them! And they can't even fart without Russell Wilson's permission. What did this game sound like on Niner Radio?
Can you feel it now?
We'll get to it next on 950 KJR.
Softy, is it?
So get ready.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Or did he fumble?
Unbelievable.
You want to talk about ripping your heart out?
He came after Carson Palmer, a breakdown in protection, and the Seahawks were on Palmer now.
This is the opponent audio recap.
Boy, that hurt. That sure did.
That one hurt.
The season can't end like that. He missed it left.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. You remember when there used to be a time where a Week 17 matchup with San Francisco would be a big deal?
Hey, Seattle.
And there'd be a lot on the line.
Yeah, back when they were good.
Yeah, they've really blown that, man. This rivalry and the heat and the atmosphere around the rivalry has really taken a dump because of them. I mean, they have totally fallen apart, man.
It's just their lack of consistency, because we were great and they were great, and then they got bad and we stayed great, and then they got great and we were still great, and now they're bad and we're still great. Did you get all that?
No. Can you give it to me again? Write it down in a text, please. Send it off to me. Well, the Seahawks yesterday against the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers in town, and we've done it now 12 times, okay? Hoping to do it four more times between now and the middle of February. We call it the Seahawks Opponent Audio Recap every Monday. If the Seahawks win, we listen back to what the game sounded like on the opposing team's radio network. So here now, for the second time this year,
can you feel it now?
The voices of Greg Papa and Tim Ryan on 680 KNBR in San Francisco. Roll it.
Mitch Wishnowsky will kick off from left to right. Freddie Swain, the rookie wide receiver from Florida, lets it go over his head for a touchback. Russell Wilson threw 28 touchdown passes the first half of the year. He only has 10 in the second half. He does have 38 on the year. Lockett goes in jet sweep motion. They hand off for a first down on a third down and one. They had a lot of action going to the backfield, but they turned and handed off to the big back there, Chris Carson, at 222 pounds to pick up the Seattle first down. They're on the 49er 46-yard line with 4 minutes to play. Wilson out of the gun. The play clock at 2-1. They'll snap it. Ethan Posick snaps it at 1. Wilson pressure throws out left to Chris Carson. The check down back in the flat. And he'll race all the way inside the 49er 20-yard line before Verrett, who had coverage there against DK Metcalf, finally comes off of him. But again, that's a bad play to give up on a flat pass there.
It's Aziz Alshire. He's in a green dog. He's rushing to cover Chris Carson, and he falls down and misses him.
Jason Myers, the former Jacksonville Jaguar and a one-year New York Jet, they bought us a free agent before last year. He's made 33 straight field goals dating back to last year. He'll drive this 36-yarder between the hashes right down the middle. He's not missed all year on field goals. He's a perfect now 23 of 23, and he's made 34 in a row. And the 49ers bend a little bit, so the 49ers will hold Seattle on the return there, and they'll take over on the 30-yard line. Russell Wilson out of the gun, looks left, middle, right. He has eternity. Finally, Kerry Hyder Jr. will force him out of the pocket. He'll throw high. No, it's caught by Lockett down the sideline. I didn't see Lockett. There was a receiver he overthrew, but he had Lockett down the right sideline for a catch and run. Well, he had about 5 seconds to look it over there and threw out right, and it was not well spaced by Seattle on the scramble drill, but he found Tyler Lockett there.
Jimmy Ward was in shock that Lockett came up with that football. He's like, oh my God, how did that happen?
And wasn't even sure he was throwing to Lockett.
I'm with you.
Well, there's a throw and a catch for a first down. That is DK Metcalf on the coverage of the nickelback, Dante Johnson. He throws the ball over to the Seattle sideline because with that catch, he has established a Seahawks single season receiving record for yardage. It was 35 years ago, the great Steve Largent, the combination of Jim Zorn, the lefty, to Largent. He had in 85, Tim, 1,287 yards, and with that, Metcalf needed 6 yards coming into the game, picks it up. So in his second year in the NFL, he's already broken the record of Steve Largent.
Yeah,
pretty
incredible.
Impressive.
He's gotten so much better as a route runner, too.
Pete's going for the field goal here. Right hash mark, it'll be Tyler Ott, who is a Pro Bowl long snapper, to their punter, Michael Dixon. And Jason Myers has not missed again all year. He is 24 for 24. He's made 35 in a row. But the 49ers hold out the third best red zone offense out of the end zone when they get down inside the 20. And a pair of Jason Meyer field goals is all they have. They got to get going offensively.
They got to make something.
49ers have 29 yards of total offense so far today.
And three drives. That's not going to get it done.
Third down here. Third down and three. They go empty. Three right, two left. Looks left. Cox does not throw. Now Benson Mayoa will sack him. And also coming over is Bobby Wagner. But it was Mayoa that hit him. So indecisive as his first read left. He cocked a throw and then he pulled it out and got turned around there.
And I think he's looking at George Kittle. He doesn't unload it. And then he's got a pirouette. And really, as you said, runs right into Mayoya.
Third down and eight. Lockett goes in motion again. Lines up in a slot left inside of DK Metcalf. Freddie Swain is right on third and eight. Wilson back. Going to get pressured and sacked as Fred Warner came in a linebacker blitz along with Aziz Alshire. Alex Barrett from the D-line had the pressure. He's wearing Colin Kaepernick's famous number 7, Tristan Vizcaino. Signed off the practice to the active roster yesterday, a 36-yard field goal, his first kick ever in the NFL, University of Washington. As the 49ers have lost Tabor Pepper, they've lost Robbie Gould. Wishnowsky had to pull down the high snap, but Vizcaino drilled that. They don't get 7 out of it, 6 and 7, Tim, but they do get 3 to get back into the game here.
Yeah, I think C.J. Beathard, the pocket awareness has got to improve in the second half as they come back out.
So not a great offensive first half. They'd have the one good drive there on the seam route to Richie James Jr. for C.J. Beathard, but the defense playing well. And the 49ers trail Seattle by a score of 6-3 at halftime so far down at State Farm Stadium in Glendale.
So for the second week in a row, the Hawks score 6 points in the first half. 6 against the Rams, up 6-3 against the Niners at half. Russell Wilson, 11 of 19 at halftime, 100 yards, 72.5 passer rating. C.J. Beathard, 8 of 13, 67, passer rating of 74.8. So somewhere there's a guy or a gal that did not know the way that game ended because they fell asleep at halftime. We're going to tell them what happened in half number 2, starting right now.
49ers with Austin Welter back to return this kickoff in the end zone. We'll get the ball to start the second half. Jason Myers will approach the ball and kick away from left to right at State Farm. Last 30 minutes of football of the year. Short kick, 7-yard line. Welter going to come out, going to angle left and not make the 20-yard line. Again, Cody Barton is his third tackle on special teams. He leads their team.
When's he not lighting somebody up? That guy
all game long. He's kind of, he always got 16 tackles on special teams, so he came to the game third in the NFL.
The kick return has not been good all year. And remember, week 8, it was Cody Barton that just absolutely tattooed Dante Pettis and knocked that football out.
Second and 11, play action, a half roll right, look back left. Beathard throws, caught by Jeff Wilson Jr., tackled by DJ Reed immediately, along with the rookie linebacker from Texas Tech, Jordan Brooks. So,
man, he gets hit pretty good by Collier as he unloads it. But you could see that time, and it was play action, but he definitely was not telegraphing with his eyes, and that gave Jeff Wilson a chance. Flag down.
Here's Tony Carreni. What do you got?
Personal foul, roughing the passer. Defense number 91.
L.J. Collier, T-Rex, so that's a big pickup there.
Again, he hit C.J. Beathard here, and I guess because he had his arm up near the neck of C.J. Beathard, that's Tony Corrente is going to make that call from the backside.
Now they're going to bring in Vizcaino to try a field goal, but this one's going to be a little bit longer here, and this one will be about a 46-yarder for Tristan Vizcaino. He has a very powerful leg. He did kick in preseason with Cincinnati in 2019 and made a 57-yarder. He needs a better snap. This one's high, but pulled down by Wisnowski. Vizcaino, plenty of leg and right down the middle. The 49ers have tied the NFC West champion Seahawks 6-6 with 9:30 to play. Third quarter, Russell Wilson 11 for 20 for 101 yards is all. Halfway through the year, he was the league MVP. Right now, he's not going to maybe get another first place vote. Throw out right, broken up by Akella Witherspoon, who was shaking his helmet and yapping at DK Metcalf.
Perfect by Akella Witherspoon.
Another Michael Dixon punt. He has been Seattle's best performer today, but a short one here. River Craycraft comes running up to take it 40, 45 all the way to midfield. It's Dixon himself who will make the tackle. These Australian-born punters can tackle despite all the injuries and losses all year. They're holding Seattle a couple of field goals. 49ers take over in a 6-6 game. Seattle's 49. Bet they're going to throw a seam route out right too high. Kittle made a one-hand catch, an incredible catch. Gets up and finally dropped inside the 10-yard line. That may be the best catch he's ever made. Got turned all around with a reaching right hand. He caught the palm of the ball.
That was not a good throw from C.J. Beathard. He just put it up. He's got great trust with George Kittle, and I can't say anything more other than that may be the best catch he's ever caught.
Tristan Vizcaino with a 33-yard field goal. High snap from Holba, pulled down by Wisnowski. Vizcaino will make this kick. That one was sliding on him a little bit left.
That guy's got some loft on that kick, though, doesn't he?
He got it high, and now he's kicking off. Mitch Wisnowski doing a great job on these holds, though, as Colin Holba, the long snapper, is repeatedly snapping it long. But three field goals from Vizcaino, and the 49ers have their first lead now. Looks like man on 3rd and 9. Russ flushed out to his left, will throw off his back foot down the field, out of bounds. Went to DK Metcalf again. It was Dante Johnson who ran with him in man, and then they got help over the top, and Seattle's got to punt the ball away again. Bunch formation left and two right on fourth down. Beathard gonna roll out to his left. He can run here. He'll throw, and it's caught. Kendrick Bourne in the comeback route as a 49er first down. Another big drive extending catch by KB.
It's time to get Jeff Wilson in the end zone as a receiver. He's had 13 touchdowns in 320 plays over the last 2 years as a 49er. That's a touchdown every 24 plays. Incredible.
They're going to hand it to him here. He'll take it in the end zone as a runner. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Well, I was half right with Jeff Wilson. Knew it was time for him to get into the end zone, and that is 14 touchdowns in the last 2 years with minimal play. That's a wild camera view. Looks like you're watching a video game. Little gun run, split back.
Right now, the 49ers have a 10-point lead on Seattle. 14-22 to play in the game.
All right, so let me tell you this, because this is where you can take your little win probability dealy bob and stick it up your keister.
All right.
16-6, 14-21 to go, fourth quarter. Give me 10 seconds on your mental state as a Seahawk fan yesterday.
I didn't think they were going to come back at 16-6.
Okay. I really didn't.
And that's usually good. I'm pretty confident. And one of the reasons I didn't think they were going to come back is because there wasn't the urgency to come back.
Yep. All right, that's
they
good.
They didn't have
that's
to good. Come back.
Because ESPN says they had a 13% chance of winning the game. 87% win probability for San Francisco at 16-6 in the fourth quarter. And then...
extremely difficult. Boy, they were so close. So close.
This happened!
Seattle has done nothing since mid-second quarter. How motivated are they? New Orleans is winning their game. Green Bay's winning their game, but they're playing their guys. First and 10, Seattle on their 35. They have a slot right. They single up Metcalf left. He runs a slant route, but Russ got pressure for the blitz from Alshire. Able to run away from it. Throw it out to Tyler Lockett. Lockett got hit out of bounds by Fred Warner.
Yeah, they're going
to
get extra 15 here. I think it was Dante Johnson that came in late.
Tyler Lockett is piling up the receptions today. He already has 9 all-time Seattle Seahawk record. Needed 7 coming in, 10. He had 7, like, right away in the first quarter.
And I think he's 2 or 3 away from the C-note, 100 catches on the season.
Yeah, he came in with 88, and he's got 9 catches, so he's got 97 on the year. Doug Baldwin had the record with 94 in 2016. Bobby Engram had 94 back in 2007. First and 10, Seattle. They fake the toss sweep coming left. They roll Russ right. He hits Disley, the tight end, breaks a tackle, and he'll finally be rolled down by Alshire on the 49ers' 7-yard line. Boy, they've come alive. Quick. Third down and goal. Russell Wilson in the gun. Rashad Penny to the right as Carson has a bleed, a blood coming out of his ear. There's a nice block, and then Kerry Hyder will get Wilson around the shoulder pads, runs away from it. Russ throws, and it's caught for a touchdown. Did he make the catch? Tyler Lockett makes another incredible catch. That had a sack around the shoulder pads. Wilson got away from that, rolled out, hit Lockett.
Defense number 54.
That's just Russell Wilson getting away from a sack there and hitting Tyler Lockett, who makes another very difficult catch.
Yeah, it's like he's throwing somebody out at first base in the way that you know, that baseball metaphor.
The former minor league second baseman Patrick Mahomes also played shortstop. Here's Jason Myers with the point after it's 16-12 49ers, and Myers gonna pull that one and miss it. He missed it wide to the left as he hooked the extra point. He's not missed a field goal all year, but he has missed now 4 extra points.
Boy, that had no chance. He tried to rip that thing like it was a driver off the tee box and just yanked it left.
49ers are 5-for-13 on third down. Face a third down and 5. Bunch formation. Seattle showing a double A gap. They're going to bail out of it here. Bunch right, single up left. Beathard going to throw out left. It is dropped by George Kittle. And good coverage there by DJ Reed. The ball got delivered. Have to see if it was a drop or if DJ pulled it out. But in any event, the 49ers got to punt the ball back to Seattle.
Oh, what a big missed opportunity. Again, they show and blow, which means they showed that they were coming, and then those linebackers blow out of there.
First and 10, Seattle. It is Wilson in the shotgun, going to play action. Now going to step up in the pocket to avoid the heat. Come straight forward and run. Makes a move on Warner to run for a Seattle first down. Second and 10, 2x2 formation. They have Lockett and Metcalf left in a slot. Wilson going to duck away from the rush, going to pump and now run for a first down down the sideline. Warner runs him out of bounds. He extends the ball to get all he can, and he's out of bounds right on the 49er 20-yard line. I mean, at the end of the year is over, he's going to run for 500 yards. Seattle charging for the lead here with 4:15 to play in the game. 49ers 16-12 lead right now, precarious. Wilson out of the gun, going to drop back. Now going to lob one for the end zone for Tyler Lockett. He makes a juggling catch. Did he get both feet in bounds? He did. They're giving him a touchdown for now.
Yep, and he got a Kella Witherspoon on a crossing route. And 49ers come with pressure, so you know it's going to be man coverage. Lockett comes from the other side of the field, and Akello Witherspoon is in a trail position. Russell Wilson finds him, drops the dime, touchdown.
He has 40 touchdown passes on the year. I believe that catch gives Tyler Lockett 100 receptions on the year. They go 14 plays, 85 yards, and 5:26 to take the lead. At 19-16, the game is not over. Here's Beathard on second and 10. Shotgun pressure, strip sack, ball is loose back inside the 20. Whose ball is it? Seahawks
Rasheem
come
Green.
Away with the ball.
Yeah,
Rasheem Green recovers it.
It was ruled a fumble, recovered by Seattle.
They came tearing around the edge, and Justin School's side at left tackle.
It's going to be Benson Maioa coming around from Justin School and the other side just as well. I mean, it was a Sunday afternoon meeting at the quarterback because Dunlap had a great spin on McGlinchey as well, but it was Maioa that punched that ball out, grabbing the arm of C.J. Beathard.
Game is not technically over, but it's dim now.
That's a shame, and really kind of a microcosm, Papa, how this whole season has gone for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, Russell Wilson goes under center now. They're going to run a stretch to Alex Collins coming wide left, going to put a move on and take it to the end zone for a touchdown. What a run by Alex Collins, who they just elevated from the practice squad. Carlos Hyde was ill this week, unable to go, and that was a heck of a drive and a finishing touchdown there from Alex Collins.
And this will leave a bad taste in the mouths of these defenders.
First and goal from the 3-yard line. Beathard in a shotgun, empty set, 3 right, 2 left, throws. It is caught for a touchdown by Jeff Wilson Jr. Your onside kick, and it was hit by Wisnowski, right? Wisnowski, and it is recovered by Seattle, and I think it's Nick Ballour.
Yep, and he looks like he got hurt on the play. No, he's just laying down.
He don't get hurt. He's a former linebacker. So that'll be it.
Oh, 49ers. I remember.
You remember? Yeah.
I remember.
So Seattle will kneel out, and that'll be the final score of 26-23. Seattle will sweep the season series. Extremely difficult. Boy, they were so close. So close.
By the way, somebody needs to tell Tim Ryan it's not Benson Maioa.
Maioa.
It's not Benson Maioa. It's not Benson Maioa. It's Benson Maioa. I mean, you got one job, right? The whole week of getting ready for a game. Second time we've done the Hawks all year long. You can't get a guy's name right. It's a fourth quarter, for God's sakes. They're a producer in the guy's ear. And by the way, one of the underrated stories of 2020, everybody knock on wood together, Jason Myers has now made 35 in a row. Normally, I'd feel a little queasy about that.
Yeah, going
heading into the playoffs, but I like the fact that he's missed 4 extra points.
Yes, yes. Okay? We can probably count on him not to miss any of those extra points. But can you get...
I think the fact that he's missed an extra point is great news for his field goal run.
Oh, I see. It translates. Yeah, I didn't realize it translates.
Well, it's a 33-yard field goal is what it is on the extra point. So if he wants to miss one, let him miss a PAT.
There you go.
Have at it.
If you could get the that's a shame drop by Tim Ryan, that needs to be added to our Santa Clara 49er page there.
Right, yeah,
and as far as Benson Maioa or Maioa or whatever he
mayonnaise.
Called him. Your guy Hawk Blogger just tweeted out over the final 3 weeks of the season, Benson Maioa, second amongst all edge players in the NFL at an 88.1 and had a 91.5 grade against San Francisco.
PFF, right? PFF grade? Okay, right, yeah. No, he's been effective, and I don't think it's a surprise that he started to turn things on when you picked up Carlos Dunlap. I mean, look at the way Jaron Reed played.
Yeah.
Let's hope he can go Saturday. Look at the way Benson Maioa has played since they picked up Carlos Dunlap. I mean, you can argue, dude, that Carlos Dunlap has been the MVP of this football team in the second half of the year. Ever since she showed up, everything began to change. And we didn't have the play there because apparently they were goofing around talking about the Kyle Shanahan show on Monday on KNBR or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the David Moore pass that got him the $100,000 bonus.
Did they get mad at that?
Did they get mad about that?
Not really.
I don't think they cared, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But my point is this. Can I be the wet blanket here for a second on that?
Sure.
I think everybody's great that, hey, look, the fact that the Seahawks did that for David Moore is awesome. Can you imagine if somebody got hurt on that play?
Yeah.
Why didn't Russell Wilson just give him the money? I mean, honestly.
Because that would cost Russ $100,000.
Yeah, but it's the equivalent of somebody making $50,000 giving somebody $140.
I mean, would
just
you
give
rather.
Give the money.
I mean, would you
and don't
rather,
run the play.
Would you rather hand Jackson a check for $1,000 or have iHeartMedia hand check Jackson a check for $1,000?
Well, okay. If it meant that iHeartMedia handing Jackson $1,000 could potentially lead to me losing my voice and not being available for the greatest radio show of all time tomorrow, I might just give him the damn money. I don't know.
You should just give me the damn money.
There's no chance of somebody getting
try
hurt.
It out.
You can't compare that to me giving Jackson Phelps a check. I'm just saying this. Can you imagine for a half a second if somebody got their foot stepped on wrong or Russell got his foot stepped on by somebody or David Moore got hurt? Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
People would be losing their minds right now.
I was thinking that at 16-6, as were you when you tweeted out because, I mean, I'm glad they won the game.
Yes.
It's
yes.
nice that they won the game, but guess what?
Didn't matter.
Them winning this game does not improve their chances one iota of them winning next week.
Unless you believe it was important for them to get that little confidence going there.
But
with the
D,
offense.
Like you said, the D already had confidence.
Right. But I'm saying the offense.
Yeah.
The offense hadn't done jack squat
that's true.
Until the fourth quarter against a pretty good defense, right, in San Francisco?
Yes.
So maybe them pushing that through there and scoring 20 in the fourth quarter, like we talk about the defense and how everything began to move in the second half of the Ram game the first time they played him.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that leaving Russell Wilson in, scoring 20 in the fourth quarter was the best thing for this football team to get a spark before the game on Saturday against the Rams? I don't know.
Yes, but I'm with you. We're just going to see another 20-17 game on Saturday.
Are they going to win 20-17?
Yes. Okay, yeah, okay. I think they're going to win. I would be stunned if they scored 30 points.
What is your confidence level on this team, honestly, heading into the playoffs on Saturday? Tell us at 49451. Testimonials on the Coors Light text line brought to you by Hammer and Nail are coming up. With me.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Hi, boys and girls. Textimonials, of course, brought to you by our friends at hammerandnail.build on the Coors Light text line. We have a new sponsor as well. Have you heard about this for the Textimonials segment at 4:45 every day?
Was he in or was he out? It's brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about.
All right, 4:50. Joe Fan will join us at 5:20 on the radio show. Is there a Fain versus Fan potential here?
No, not this week. Okay, we haven't disagreed on anything this week.
All right, well, let's change that the next 25 minutes here. 49451, a couple of folks commenting on the Niners recap. What do you got?
These San Fran announcers get first place for worst name pronunciations ever.
Ooh.
They say them like it's the first time they've ever seen them.
Well, I just say this.
Can you feel it now?
It's a giant pet peeve of mine. Like, the pessimism from the fans on Twitter is a huge pet peeve of yours, right? PA announcers, color guys, and play-by-play men that mispronounce players' names. Gigantic pet peeve, okay? I mean, literally, from game to game, you've done a game before. There's going to be maybe 15 to 20 player, maybe total, out of 100 that you might need phonetics for. Mm-hmm. So what do? You have a little phonetics card right in front of you in the booth, and you can pronounce it phonetically over the air. There's no excuse for it. None. From a PA guy, a radio guy, a TV guy. Look, you know, clowns like us that just do a talk show for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Great, whatever, fine. But somebody who gets ready for a game once a week.
That's their job,
It's horrid. It drives me up a freaking wall.
So you're giving yourself a pass for mispronouncing Carlos Dunlap's name.
Yes.
Because a member of the staff is busting your balls on text with me that you can't pronounce Dunlap.
Dunlap. Somebody's busting my balls?
Yes.
From our staff?
Yeah, what? He's in the other room.
You?
Not named Jackson.
No, not
really?
Me.
Okay, fine.
And specifically,
Shockey you talking about.
Yeah. Right. And specifically, he wanted this to be played.
Since you're busting Tim Ryan's balls, I need to bust yours for saying Carlos Dunlap instead of Carlos Dunlap. Yeah.
Extremely difficult. Boy, they were so close.
Dunlap.
So did Shockey text that in?
I'm sure he did.
I cannot confirm or deny. You know,
maybe Shockey should worry about his own show mispronouncing stuff, as opposed to coming and picking on the 3-7 guys here. Good God, what's next?
Wasn't that place kicker from the UW not so good, and now he's hitting everything?
Yeah, Tristan Vizcaino was in college and
very meh.
No, he was unbelievable, right? But first game ever, is that correct? As a pro kicker? Was yesterday for San Francisco, so let's see what happens after maybe a couple of weeks, or happens if he gets the job next year. What's next?
No Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I am so depressed.
Yeah,
I know.
That leaves you guys on the air even longer.
Brutal. I'm totally with you, man.
Depressing.
The fact that we have to stay on the air, we could have Monday Night Football in 20 minutes from now. There is good news, though. Of the 6 games this weekend, 5 of them will be on this radio station.
Wow.
2 of them will feature this guy.
He's a bulldozer. He's a beast.
2 of them. I think Kevin Harlan's doing the Browns game.
Jeez.
And he's also doing, I believe, the Washington football game on Sunday.
He's the hardest working play-by-play man
both
in
games.
America.
And so he also makes about $15 million a year. Right, what's next?
I'm more optimistic than I thought I would be, because I feel Washington and Chicago can both win their games.
Well, look, I mean, I think this. I think that if the Seahawks get to the Super Bowl, they're going to freaking earn it, man. Because the idea of going through Brady, Breeze, Rodgers to get there, and then maybe a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, I don't know, man. This is going to be a pain in the ass to get there, but I think it's wide open. I think the parity is as good as it's ever been in this conference, man.
I agree with you there, but I will say Washington last night barely beat a team that was trying to lose.
Were they, though? Were they?
Yes, they?
Honestly, I swear to God, is Doug Peterson taking a little bit too much heat for that? What was Jalen Hurts' numbers when he got yanked in that game yesterday? You know what? Let's come back and talk about that next segment, okay? Yep. All right, one more. Go ahead.
Dick wants to play that stupid UW men's basketball game?
Yeah, that is.
Now, does that tell us, is he really a Huskies fan or a Zags fan?
I think we should find out the answer to that.
Is your partner a Husky fan or a Zags fan?
Maybe that's really what's going on here, Jackson.
I need to dull
the pain. Maybe Dick is a closet Zag fan more than we thought, and anything that humiliates Washington, he wants us to do on the air. I mean, why else would you recommend such a dumbass idea? Huh? Are you kidding me?
Because I'm stupid.
You've had a lot of great ideas in your life. That was not one of them.
I'm not a closet Zag fan. There's nothing closet about it.
But you've always claimed that if UW played Gonzaga,
absolutely,
that you would root for UW.
No question.
Not sure
I'm just glad they're not playing this year.
Not sure if I buy that anymore.
If they did play this year?
They did play this year?
Who would you root for if they played this year?
I'd root for the Huskies, and it still wouldn't matter because the Zags would still be a number one seed even if they lost.
This is coming from the mouth of a guy who wants us to remind people who's ranked lower in the net ranking.
It was just a fun idea for a bit.
What's fun about it? There's nothing fun.
Then just say you don't like it.
How about this? How about I stop by your house on the way home and stick my thumb in your eye? Is that fun? You want to do that too?
That sounds fun. Jalen Hurts, by the way, was 7 of 20, 72 yards and an interception.
Yeah, and you're getting pissed off for benching the guy? Really? Are you kidding me? Doug Peterson's getting treated way unfairly. Let's come back more and talk about Carlos Dunlop next.